So during this Christmas season, we've been talking about this whole idea of upside down Christmas and kind of what do we mean by that? That Christmas is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. We sing it, we've got it playing on our radios, right? And yet, if we would be honest, the wonder for a lot of people has been replaced with stress, pain, hopelessness, loneliness, etc. We could just go on and give a whole big list of all the things that Christmas all of a sudden got replaced with, and this most wonderful time of the year just isn't that type of year anymore. And so we said, how do we kind of get back to that? Get back to it's the most wonderful time of year. Get back to where Christmas is supposed to be and should be for all of us. And so that's kind of what we've been working on, is to turn this Christmas upside down, flip it around, and try to regain some of that most wonderful time of the year again. And so last week, if you weren't here, you can always listen online and follow along with us, that an upside down Christmas puts Christ at the center. And then last week was all about gifts. Gives gifts that makes a difference. So remember, gifts that meet needs and that point people to Jesus. And what would it look like if we just thought about our gift giving that way instead of, you know, how much money can I spend? What do I need to do? How can I impress this person? You know, all the things that Christmas has become, all this stress about how much money we can spend. What if we flipped that around and we looked at this whole idea of giving gifts that actually make a difference? That was last week. So this week, our decision is going to be to move from happiness to joy. Because you're going to notice something if you listen to much music. Most of it, when you focus on Christmas, we don't use the word happy, we use the word joy. Because they are two totally different ideas. They're two totally different ideas. And so we want to move to have a better Christmas, to make Christmas the most wonderful time of the year. We want to move from happiness to joy. We want to see that transition happen in our lives and see what kind of difference that would make and how we could possibly flip this Christmas upside down. And here's what happens, okay? This probably happened to you as a kid, maybe it still happens. If I get blank, then I will be happy. Okay, so if we had more kids in the room, they're over at Children's Church, they could tell us their one thing, right? The one thing they wish they would get this year, okay? It's at the top of their list, right? They've already begged you, please, can we find every Santa in every mall so I can tell Santa what I want, okay? You already know what it is. It's at the top of their list, okay? Because, and most of us have been there, most of us are still there. If I get blank, then I will be happy, right? If I get this, then I will be happy. And that's what we think, that's what they think, that's what we all at different times think. Sometimes it's still that way, okay? And some of you think, if my husband would just get me this, oh, it'd be a great Christmas, right? It'd be a great Christmas. We just do this. If I get, then I will be, because that's the way we think quite often about Christmas, this idea of I want to be happy. And happiness is about getting something, the thing that I want the most. But isn't it true, if you would go back with me and remember when you were a kid, there were things that you wanted really, really bad, really, really bad, and you got a Christmas morning, it was there, and you played with it for what, 3 minutes? Okay, 5, 10, let's be generous, right? And then you were off to something else, right? And it was just so momentary, right? It was so fleeting, it just didn't last as long as you thought it would last. And that's just because of our mindset. If I get, then I will be happy. And that's why the commercials just get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? You know, you want a Lexus under the tree, okay? That's not what my wife wants, okay? She watches the commercial and she wants the red Mercedes, okay? I just try to remind her, I am a pastor, you know, right? And so she loves the red Mercedes that Santa's driving, going, oh yeah, there we go, right? So, right, and every jeweler's got 15 karat rings that you just have to buy and all this stuff, okay? And it's easy to get sucked in and think, if I only get this, then I will be happy. So I want to revisit a section of scripture. And I want us to revisit it and see what we are promised, or what a group of people were promised on the first Christmas, and it isn't the word happy, it's gonna be the word joy. So Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, this is just a midsection of Luke's retelling of the Christmas story for us, And you can follow along your Bibles, you can follow on the screens. If you have your apps and you like going into YouVersion, you can follow along, and all the verses will be there for you, so you can kind of follow along where we're going to be. But we're in Luke chapter 2, where Luke records for us, and Luke tells us right at the beginning, if you want to read an amazing piece of scripture, right at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us why he's doing everything he's doing. I'm writing everything because I want you, and he writes to a person, I want you to know everything about Jesus. And he talked to eyewitnesses. So that means here, when we start looking at the shepherds, that means he talked to shepherds. Okay? He got stories from the shepherds about what they saw that night. So after we get this little section from Luke, he goes in and says this. That night, the night Jesus was born, the first Christmas, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. And so the first thing, and you can find this all throughout scripture, anytime an angel shows up, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because their presence just makes you go, oh my goodness, well, something's wrong, something's going on, something's happening. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you, and here's our little section here, good news that will bring great, and there's our word, joy. It's not happiness. It's not happiness. It's joy that will bring great joy, not just normal joy, but great joy to all people. Do you know what this means? Everybody in here, we are all included, okay? Because all means everybody. So it's good news, great joy that's for every single person. Continues, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign, that you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven. And I love that phrase, the armies of heaven show up, praising God and saying, glory to the God in the highest and on peace on earth to whom God is pleased. It's this picture that we are given. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, oh, this is no big deal. Who cares, right? Sometimes it almost seems that's what happens in response to the good news. That something's wrong if that's our response to the good news that Jesus came. If that's our response to Christmas, yeah, it's okay. Right? It's all right. No. What? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So that was the response. If this is good news, if this is great joy, then my goodness, we are off. We are going. We are going to figure this out. So as we flip this thing around today, and we move from happiness to joy, I think we need to start by comparing the two so that we understand the difference when we talk about happy versus joy, and why is there a difference between the two, and what do we mean by those two things, okay? The first is this, that happiness is external, joy is internal. That because of who we know, and because of what God has done in us, that joy becomes internal, happiness is external. Okay, so that's a big difference. That means I'm dependent on what happens around me for my happiness. I'm depending on things around me going my way and doing the things I want in order for me to be happy. Whereas joy isn't that way at all. That joy is internal. That joy is something inward that Jesus can do, as we're going to see, in me. That's far beyond what's happening around me. That's why, if you've ever read through Scripture and you get to this little letter called the letter to the Philippians, to the believers in Philippi, and you find out from the background that Paul is in jail, and he keeps writing this three-letter word called joy, and you're like, wait a minute, time out. What? You're in jail. You're in prison. How do you keep writing about joy? Because it has nothing to do with what's going on around him. It has everything to do with what's happening inside of him. Where happiness is external, joy is internal. Where happiness is based on circumstances. There's those circumstances of everything needs to go my way. Whereas joy is based on Christ. It's based on what God is doing in our life. It's based on a relationship with Christ. Whereas the rest, happiness, is all based on circumstances, right? And that's all how it went this morning. And I don't know about your morning, but things were crazy around here this morning, okay? All the worship team knows that. It was a little crazy around here this morning. Things were breaking. Things weren't going that well. And it'd be very easy to go, forget this, right? Just put a sign up. We're closed today, okay? Just we're done. We're spent. We've had it, right? It's just easy to do that because sometimes circumstances, they just line up in all the wrong direction for us. And you're just like, to go back to bed, quit today, right? Let's try this again tomorrow. It's just so easy to do that. We're all just tempted to do that because of the way circumstances start falling together in our lives. And I think that's a lot to do with what happens around Christmas. It has a lot to do with all the stress and all the things we got going on and all the busyness. There's times that things just start falling apart and we're just like, can we just quit and give up? And that's so easy to do if we're all about happiness. Based on what is going on around me and if circumstances are lining up rather than based on what Christ is doing in me and has done for me. Happiness is based on chance, where joy is based on choice. You have a chance today that you might be happy, okay? If things work out well, the way you want it to go. But joy is always about a choice. So Paul tells us he can be joyful in prison. That Jesus, for the joy, as the writer of Hebrews says, that was set before him, goes to the cross. How can that be joyful? That was painful. That was horrible, okay? Because he chose it to be that way, knowing what it would accomplish and what it would do. So we have based on chance or based on choice. I like the choice one. You know why? Because I can choose that. I can choose that no matter what's happening around me, no matter what is taking place, no matter what is going on. I can make that choice no matter what. It's way better than based on chance. Because what chance is everything going to go your way today? It already hasn't this morning, right? You're already like, that hasn't even happened today yet. So what if we just based it on a choice instead of on chance? So here we go. Now we're going to fully into how do we do this? How do we experience the true joy of Christmas? How do we move from, I want a happy Christmas where everything goes my way and I get exactly what I want, and I'm going to shift that over to I want to experience the true joy of Christmas. And the first part of this is I need to accept the good news of Jesus. I need to accept the good news of Jesus. And if you haven't done that, then Christmas is a great season to consider what Christ has done for you and consider accepting that good news. Here's, again, the message from the angels is what? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And I love this. Everybody gets included. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how far you think you're away from God. Doesn't matter. All people, this great joy that's from this good news is available to everybody. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. You and I, we have this incredible, incredible gift that's been given to us. And it's up to us whether we accept what Christ has done for us and we welcome him as our Savior and we welcome him into our lives and we make room for him or we just don't. But that is available for everybody. You have no excuse that God hasn't gone and dealt with because he loves you, he created you. But I think sometimes we miss this idea that we are all created by God, but we become children of God. That this is what Scripture teaches us, okay? That God has created all of us, and then he's created all of us with a choice, with an opportunity to choose whether we accept what God has done for us or we go our own way. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has a choice of what they are going to do with this good news of great joy that's for everybody. Okay? You have that choice. What are you going to do with that good news? Because we are all created by God, but we become children of God. And sometimes we get that wrong. And sometimes we say we are all God's children. Yeah, if we choose to become God's children, if we make that choice and we accept his love and forgiveness, if we accept that good news of great joy, if we don't, then we are still created by God, but God says, you know, I love you so much that you have a choice. And I won't force you and I won't make you, but I want you. I want you. And I want to have relationship with you. I want to have that with you. That was the whole purpose for God creating everything in the beginning, was out of relationship and love, and that is the way he approaches Adam and Eve, even in their sin. I love you, I created you, I want relationship with you. And that's how he approached them over and over again. And so this is how John, one of the youngest of Jesus' disciples, puts it. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become, there's our phrase, children of God. He gave the right to become. He gave the offer and said, you can become one of my children. I want to adopt you into my family, but I'm not going to make you, and I'm not going to force you, and I'm not going to push you into anything. But I love you, and I created you, and I gifted you, and I gave you everything you have, and hoping out of that you would choose, that you would want to be in relationship with me as much as I want to be in relationship with you. That's how John puts it. To all who believe, to anyone who accepted, he offers them to be his children, and he adopts us into his family. The second one, so how to experience, again, the true joy of Christmas. We accept this good news, okay? And second of all, we choose to do what God says. We choose to do what God says. Did you notice, right, I kind of hinted at it earlier. What is the shepherd's response? Let's go to Bethlehem. It's not, oh, well, that was nice. Hey, that's pretty cool when angels show up, isn't it? No, it wasn't that. It was, let's go. Let's do this, okay? Let's see the thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They immediately jumped into action, okay? Because the Christian faith, while we are invited to come to Christ, is all about action. What do we do? Do we come to Christ? Do we then follow Jesus? Do we follow Jesus in all these different areas of our life? It's all about what we choose to do. Am I going to follow? Am I going to follow Jesus? Do I want to do what I want? Or am I going to do what God wants? This is ultimately the choice. This is the choice all the way back in Genesis 3. All the way back to Genesis 3, where Eve is approached by the serpent and says, did God really say that? You know, God knows that when you eat that, it's going to be so much better for you. And he's just withholding from you. Okay? And in that moment, she makes a decision. Adam makes a decision as well. What am I going to do? Am I going to do what I want? Am I going to just give in to desire and do whatever it is I want to do? Or am I going to do what God wants? All you have to do is flip one more chapter to chapter 4 of Genesis, and you get the first, right, the first scene, Cain and Abel, and the first murder takes place. And God comes to Cain and says, Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. In other words, okay, today's sacrifice wasn't good, right? Bad day, right? Bad day. You messed up, you screwed up, you broke, right? Bad day. You know what tomorrow can be, Cain? A really good day. A different choice, a better sacrifice. The way Abel did it, okay? If you choose to do that, right? Cain's your choice. And then God says something very interesting, but Cain, you need to understand this. Sin's crouching at your door. Sin's knocking, right? It's there. And it would love to master you, and it would love for you to give in to that desire to have it your way. And then there's Cain, and what does he do? He has it his way. That the problem isn't that that he broke something and tomorrow could be different. It's that Abel outdid him, and I just got to eliminate the competition. And so he does that, and he acts in that way, and he makes the same choice. Am I going to do what I want, or am I going to do what God wants? And you and I, we make that choice every single day in so many areas of our life. In so many places of our life, we make that choice. Do I do what I want, or do I do what God wants? It is the choice we make all the time. Do I give in to whatever desire it is that I want to give into, or do I choose God's way instead? And you know what the difference between following Jesus and not following Jesus is? That choice. Every day, do I give in to my own desires, or do I follow Jesus? Are you doing what you want, or are you doing what God wants? That would be my question, because that's how we experience the joy of Christmas and the joy of Jesus and walking with him, is that I got to make this choice. Am I going to do what I want, or do what God wants? And it's all about, do I trust the story that God is writing in my life? Or I'm like, yeah, I know God, you have this plan and you have this way, but I don't think I trust you to do it. I'm just going to do it on my own. And there are several people that join us in that in Scripture. of people who thought, God, I don't know, that's a little crazy. Okay, just flip a few pages in Genesis and you get to Abraham. Okay, and what is Sarah going to do? That's crazy. I am not giving birth at 90 years old. That ain't happening, okay? So we got to find another way to do this, Abraham, okay? We got to find another way. And messed everything up. Because ultimately what? Our desire was to have a seed. Our desire was to have a son. Our desire was to have a legacy. I don't know if I can trust that story, so I need to do it my way. And so often our life is marked by whether we trust God and what he's doing and the story he's writing in our lives, or am I gonna do things my way? And what is that choice you're gonna make? What is that choice that you are going to make? The third one is this: how to experience the true joy of Christmas. I choose to tell others about Jesus. I wanna see what happens when the shepherds come and they get there and they see exactly what they were told they would see and what they would find. And that was a baby wrapped in cloths in a manger, okay? Where you don't find babies, okay? Where you find cattle feeding, okay? That's what you find in a manger. You don't find a baby in a manger. So that's what they were told. Go find, okay? Go and look. But their reaction's incredible. They didn't go, wow, that's pretty cool. Hey, we better get back to the sheep, okay? You know, let's just get back and do whatever it is we're doing for. Look at the reaction. After seeing him, a baby in a manger, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. It was like you couldn't meet him anywhere, and they'd tell you, hey, come here, you gotta hear this, okay? You gotta find, guess what we were told? Guess what we saw? We heard, we saw, and that's all they did. And they told everybody what had happened that night. It was like you can run into a shepherd and not hear their story about what happened that night. And that was just a natural reaction out of what they saw and what God had done that night. So there's our question. Who do I need to tell about Jesus? Who do I need to tell about what Jesus has done in my life? That is really, really simple. We make this thing out to be hard and difficult. Yeah, but they're going to ask me tough questions, right? They're going to ask me hard things, and I don't know how to answer them. And No. All it is who do I tell about Jesus? Okay? Do you think the shepherds were worried about that? Yeah, but what if somebody asked me, why is a baby in a manger? I don't know. We just went there and saw him, right? What if we get really hard questions? What are we going to do about that? Okay? They weren't concerned about any of that. They were so overwhelmed that an angel would come to them, that God would speak to them, and that they would see that the Messiah was here. The thing they were told about their entire lives, that one day Messiah is going to come and that's going to change everything, that they went and they told everybody. So my question is, who do you need to tell? Who do you need to tell? Who do you need to share about what God has done in your life? Who is that person? Think about that person and how that Christmas might be the opportunity to do that. It might be, because we're told that Christmas is like this open door, this opportunity we have to do that, where we can actually share with somebody else, that people are more open this time of year, that people are more receptive this time of year. So perhaps this time of year, the question you now need to ask is, so who do I need to tell? Who's on that list? Who am I not sure knows about Jesus, knows about what Christmas is really about? Who's really not sure that I could just have a conversation with them? Okay? And again, you're not going to answer a question. That's not the point. The point is to tell them what Christ has done in your life. That's the whole point. Hey, here's who I was. Here's what Jesus has done for me. You know, here's where I am now. Am I perfect? Oh, absolutely not. Okay? But my Heavenly Father loves me and accepts me on those days as much as on the days I get things right. And he invites me every day into a relationship with him, to walk with him and to figure out life together. And when I have a choice to make, I can either do it my way or God's way. And let me tell you, most of the way I choose my way, and it's a disaster. But some of those times I get it right and I choose God's way. It makes all the difference. And it's sharing our story with somebody else. And I think we've made the thing way too hard. I know there's 50 million people on YouTube who's got all these videos that just you know, get everybody confused. These are the times of year, Christmas and Easter, are where you see the most ridiculous documentaries on TV that just are not true, not even close to true. But the people doing them, they don't care. They're just trying to debunk a story that they don't like. Forget all that. Forget you got to answer everything. What has Christ done for you? And share that with somebody else. I don't know who that person is you need to share with. You might know who that person is. And if you don't know who that person is, ask God to help you to look at the people around you and see who might you need to share the story of Christmas about this year. So here's our statements. That an upside down Christmas puts Christ at the center and finds joy that impacts not only us, but those around us. The shepherds weren't the only ones impacted when the angels showed up. Everybody around them got impacted. Why? Because they found happiness? No, because they found joy. And that joy changed everything. The same way that God offers it to us and offers that type of joy that can change everything. That can step into a mentality that says, yeah, but I'll be happy this Christmas if I get, and it replaces that with, I am satisfied with what Jesus has done for me, and I can find joy in that. And then enjoy this entire season and everything Christ wants to do in and through me. So as we pray this morning, I'm going to ask you just to consider, who does I need to tell? Have I accepted this incredible gift, this good news of great joy? Because it's to everybody. I know there's all sorts of rejections. Yeah, but you don't understand what I did. No, it's all. All is all. You're included in all. Everybody gets included. Everybody's invited. Everybody has an invitation. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. Doesn't matter. Everybody gets included in that. So maybe that's your next step today. Have I accepted that good news of great joy? Okay. Am I doing what God wants me to do? There's a big step. Okay. Where in my life am I not doing what God's doing? Because I just don't trust him in that story. And I'm writing it my own way, and I'm messing things up, and it would just be better if I quit and just let God do something that he's going to do and write this incredible story in my life. And then who do I need to tell? Those three decisions, everybody in the room, one of those three is applicable to you this morning of how you can experience the joy of this season by doing one of those three things, taking that next step and experiencing all that God has for you. So let me pray for you this morning that God would help you know what your next step is, what you need to do today, and that you would find joy this Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you today to help us to find this joy. This joy that does some incredible things, even for Paul in prison. Jesus, for you, that the cross was joy because of what it would do. The way it would free and save and restore a relationship. That's just remarkable. Most of us in here have just settled for happiness. And there are a lot of days we're not very happy because our circumstances aren't falling together and things aren't going our way and circumstances aren't coming together that we would like, and we might not have very many happy days, but we can always experience joy no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on. So Father, I pray this morning that we would know what our next step is. For those who have never welcome that good news of great joy, that today would be the day they would do that, and they would just invite you to be their Savior. That for those who are following you, that you would just open their eyes to an area they just don't trust you in their story. And today would be a day that they would stop doing it their way and trust you in their story and see what you might do if they would just trust you. And then perhaps, Father, the next step is, who do I need to tell about Jesus? Who might be open this year? Who is somebody in my family, in my neighborhood, at my workplace that I can really encourage and just share what you have done in our lives and in our hearts? Would you show us what we need to do? Would you show us our next step? that we would follow you, that we would experience the great joy that you have provided for us during this season. May this once again be a joyous season for us as we follow you and celebrate all that you are and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.